In these bleak days, humanity is at a breaking point. Economies are tanking. The woke mob is canceling everything. And the little guy, who's just trying to run a small business, is getting screwed from both ends. But not all is lost. Amidst the chaos, two men offer up their voices in the darkness, dropping 2,000-pound laser-guided truth bombs on today's lunacy. Introducing the Sirens of Sanity, David Pridham and L. Bradley Sheaf.
Just an old sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind.
The state song of Georgia on my mind.
Did you say swong?
Swong.
Oh, is that how they pronounce it in Georgia?
You know what happened this week? I watched my wife, who you all hear about now and again, loves the what I affectionately call the boat show. Have you heard of the boat show?
I have not heard of the boat show.
Well, it's where
I've heard of boat shows. Is that what she's talking about, or is this some particular boat show?
It's a show where people go on this boat. It's like the Love Boat, but it's reality TV. And the captain is an Aussie, right? The captain is an Aussie, okay. And so he talks like that. So I watched some of that last night before I went to bed, and I took on some of his characteristics,
his persona.
Yeah. So I'm talking like that. What was funny about that, though, is some of her friends from Dallas were on the boat show. And you got to watch it. Just some of the most reprehensible people you'll ever deal with, like yelling at the staff because the ice was not, you'll be surprised, was not nugget ice, yelling at the staff about the temperature of the eggs, making the poor chef, this little French guy who seems very nice, making him cry. Yelling because the Diet Cokes weren't cold enough, even with the ice. I mean, it was just unbelievable. And it makes you more and more convinced that leaving the city of Dallas was the right thing.
The greater Dallas area.
Good times. Great gal. Well, anyway, this is, of course, David Pridham and L. Bradley Sheaf. We are on the podcast We Mean Business, and we pee frequently. And you can find us if you Google the words pee infrequently, will be there somewhere. Now, it may be some urologist or some, you know, form of doctor that you see at the top, but you'll see us somewhere in your search results. So I encourage you to do that. We are on the iHeartRadio podcast radio network. We're on Spotify and the Apple and the Google podcasts and Amazon. Anywhere you get your podcasts, you can download us. Remember to rate and review and subscribe, most important, because that's how we get that's how we get paid, and that's how we're able to approve payroll.
You get paid?
Yeah. That's how we were able to approve payroll every week, by getting those subscriptions. It's a SaaS model, really. And you can learn more about us on our website, ipfrequently.com. And you can follow us on social media. There are tens of thousands of people who are out there following us at @IP_frequently. You can put that in any social media platform, and you'll find something. You'll be all set. You'll be good to go. You know what's interesting? This whole AI thing is.
Well, hang on. Before we get to that, we never even talked about our song.
Well, we said Georgia.
But we didn't say why.
Well, so Donald Trump goes to, and I was trying to, yep. I was trying to avoid doing this at the very beginning. Yeah. You know what? Because I was about to go to AI and actually have a heightened conversation. But no, let's get down in the gutter. So Trump goes to a Chick-fil-A in literally the worst part of Atlanta, one of the worst parts of Atlanta, and he starts he goes in there, and everyone there is African American. And he walks in his suit, red tie, you know, hair perfectly coiffed. And he goes up to the counter, and he's standing there like he's giving a State of the Union address, you know, and I'm doing it now. He's moving the hands back and forth, red tie, standing there. And he's like, are y'all doing good? Are y'all making money? Are you making money? Everyone loves Chick-fil-A. And then he ordered 30 vanilla shakes and chicken. That's all he says. Give me 30 shakes and give me chicken. And these women just started cheering. And then he stayed there for like an hour. And he just starts taking, all the women want to take, these African-American students want to take photos with him. And he's eating it up. Like, they're taking photos with him. And they love him. These people, like, I don't know if they possibly could have choreographed this, because they typically don't do a good job. But these people loved him. And he's like, they're taking selfies, and he's just looking into the camera. He's going, I'm going to take out Biden. I'm going to take out Biden. He's the worst president ever. He's the worst president ever. And then he gets up there and he says, he puts the hat on. And then he says, these people are, you know, great Americans. They're supporting the Trump campaign. And he said, quite frankly, you know, any African-American who doesn't support the Trump campaign needs to have their head examined. And then he goes on to this rant about Israel and about how, you know, Biden's being tepid on Israel. And then he said, any Jew in America who doesn't support Trump needs to have their head examined. And it's just the type of stuff you haven't heard out of a presidential candidate. And the women are just yipping and hollering back, and they go, bye-bye, Biden. And then they all start singing bye-bye, Biden. And he's doing a little dance. I mean, it's just, it's 2024, baby. And I'm getting sucked back in.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's unfortunately where we are, right? I mean, Biden cannot not be tepid on Israel because he has to have Michigan. And you're not taking Michigan without taking Dearborn. And Dearborn is, as folks may be completely unaware, I mean, the only reason I am is because when I was working for the FBI, as they say in the song, there were many a case out of Dearborn because very heavily Muslim population and largely Palestinian. And so that's the place where, you know, during the celebration of Al-Qut, where they were chanting death to America while standing in America. So, you know, he's stuck. He doesn't take Michigan. He's not going to win. And he's not taking Michigan without taking Dearborn. And so he's got to coddle up to that influence. And, you know, that's where we are. Meanwhile, Trump's in a Chick-fil-A dancing. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
we're all set.
And I have no idea. You know, it's interesting. You look at this whole Biden thing. You have Trump came out, you know, you saw what happened in Arizona this week, I think, with the Supreme Court reinstating like an 1860 law about abortion, which basically banned it in light of the Dobbs deal overturning Roe v. Wade. Mm. And so, you know, Trump, the Republicans are realizing that this, without having a coherent position on abortion, they're going to be in trouble in some of these swing states with women, which they should be, because they don't have an articulable position, right? They're not able to define the parameters around what should be restricted in their ideal piece of legislation. And so Trump came out this week and just said, look, leave it to the states. Biden is attacking that. But it's a real problem in some of these states, and it could flip like a state like Arizona and some of the upper Midwest to Biden. And this issue, if you get over anxious Republican state legislatures who are trying to overreach and just ban abortion, like, you know, basically send women out of state or to alleys to have abortion. So that's going to be a big issue. And I thought that was something that's interesting that happened this week, and then how Trump kind of nuanced it. And then in the meantime, Biden had a big state dinner for the prime minister of Japan. And, you know, Bezos was there with that wife of his and all that. Who she was dressed like a $2. Well, she was.
Yeah, I totally get it. I didn't see any pictures of that, but I have seen pictures of her, and it's clear what her role is, and she knows what that role is, and she plays it well. So
plays it well. Get darling gal. But anyway, she she was there. The emperor from Japan got up and quoted Star Trek, and then they did a toast. And old President Biden gets up there and does the toast, but he doesn't have a glass in his hand, so he's literally holding his hand up as if he has a champagne glass.
he probably thought he did. I mean, in the world in which he lives.
He tried to drink out of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, there you go. I was in a conversation this week it wasn't really about politics. I don't remember how we got here, but the conversation rolled around to, like, you know, women leading things. And, you know, we've never had a woman president. It would be interesting to see what happens. And I was commenting on, like, well, we haven't had a woman president, but we've certainly seen that a woman could be a strong leader in the form of Margaret Thatcher, right? I mean, the Iron Lady was not screwing around, because the conversation was like, hey, do you think that, you know, the rest of the world would see having a woman president as being, you know, that she might handle things in, you know, sort of a traditionally female way, and they might take advantage of that or whatever. And I said, well, I don't know. I mean, you got Margaret Thatcher. I mean, nobody was screwing with her. And so that was where we were. And the person was like, well, I don't know if we'll ever have a woman president. And I said, well, if you elect Biden again, we will, because he's not making it another 4 years and you're going to get Kamala Harris. So everybody needs to think about that. If you want to know what it's like to have a woman president and you're okay with our first experiment down that road being Kamala Harris, then you should vote for Joe Biden, because the guy that's holding the imaginary champagne glass is not going to make it another 4 years. It's just, there's just no way. So,
well, you know what's interesting is the whole Weekend at Bernie's thing is starting to take shape, right? Because say he doesn't make it, right? But they don't want her to be president. Some of his chief of staff or whatever. Mm. Same people that killed Kennedy could keep Biden alive. Same people.
Exactly the same people, because they're all still alive. They're aliens or whatever, vampires maybe. But buddy, yeah, I mean, and with respect to the abortion issue, I don't understand anybody. Well, that's not true. There are lots of people that I talk to who are just reasonable, rational human beings, and I understand their position. But I don't understand the position of either the Republican or Democratic Party. But I do agree with Trump in that it should be a state issue, right? It's an issue for the people. It should not be decided by any Supreme Court, state and certainly federal, right? I mean, remember that the problem with bringing things to the courts is, you know, at the district court level, it's just one person, just one human being with all the fallibility and foibles that any human being has, who just decides the issue. And then you go to an appellate court and, you know, now you got three, which is not much better, deciding the issue. Then you get to a Supreme Court, and I don't know how many are on all the states. I have no idea. But certainly at the federal level, then you got nine people who, you know, as we point out every time there's a position open, are unelected. And that's not how you want to do it. I can't imagine anybody saying, as a general rule, yes, we want a one person or three people or nine people, none of whom are elected at the federal level, to make key decisions on big social, cultural, economic, et cetera, issues, right? Push that as far out into the democracy as you can get it. And then we'll take what we get out of the democracy. We are a democracy, right? And so at the end of the day, if you don't like the idea of your friends and neighbors voting on an issue, then you don't like democracy. I mean, that's what we are. And you certainly don't like democracy if you're one of these people who says, well, we'll just let the courts decide. That is not democracy. And so anyone who has a problem with any issue being pushed out as far as you can get it into democracy just has a problem with democracy. You just think that your peers are morons. And if you think that, that's fine. But you've got much better odds of getting a reasonable output from a large body of input than you do from one, which is what you get at a district court. So I don't understand that.
No, you could get a real, I mean, you know, we know you get a real piece of work. And listen, to reinstate an 1860s law or whatever it was, to me doesn't make any sense. I mean, what laws have been on the books that long that are unchanged in any way or unamended in any way? I mean, and for the people that fought for this, right, you know what it tells me, and they're going to be very conservative right wingers who fought for this. What bothers me about it is when you fight for something like this, it tells me you can't win in the legislature. There's no way you're getting anything close to this passed. So you go to the court, you find a fan. The craziness about our country now is you find a favorable judge, and they'll overturn anything, and they'll do anything if you get the right judge, and it takes forever to get up an appeal. So it tells me they can't win in the legislature. And that's really where you need to be, in my view, focused to get this type of fundamental policy change through. So I don't like it. And I also think the Republicans have to watch out, because this is something that, you know, you throw a referendum on the ballot in Arizona and in Nevada that is a referendum on whether or not there should be an absolute ban on abortion. Women are going to vote in droves. Students are going to vote in droves. And the Republicans are probably, and those people that vote are not going to vote for Trump or whoever's at the top of the ticket. They're going to vote for Biden, and those states go to Biden. And then, you know, he's got the blue wall starting to take shape. So that's something that could very well happen that the Republicans have to watch out for.
Yeah. And I mean, it's just such a bad, You know, it'd be interesting if we survive this to read history books about this period of time, right? I guess it's interesting to read history books about any period of time, really. But to see how an issue like this, right, like abortion, which is a cultural, social issue, right? I mean, it's got nothing to do with economics. I mean, I'm sure an economist would say, oh, whoa, hold on. You know, and I get that everything radiates out into economics at a certain point. But this is really about your belief system, right? This is really about your worldview, where you fall on the abortion spectrum between, you know, kill any baby you want right up until the moment of birth and even, you know, in partial birth, you go ahead, just who cares, all the way over to abortion should never, ever, ever happen under any circumstances for anyone at any time. Everybody falls on that spectrum somewhere. And for an issue like that, as you point out, I mean, it's got to go out to the people. That's where an issue like that belongs, right? It doesn't require any particular degree of specialized knowledge, right? It just requires you having a firm grasp of what you believe about the value of life and how that should be applied in a culture.
And it's all perception and reality, right? And that's very, very likely what could happen in some of those states as this becomes a top line issue. But let's get to some more. And the other thing I will say before we even, you know, speaking about the 1860s, you know, Biden was talking about this, and because 1864 is the date of this act, and mm-hmm. Biden was talking about this, I think probably during the Japanese deal last night, mm-hmm. and he said we cannot have, I'm paraphrasing here, but I'm going to, we cannot have presidents that live in, you know, times like the 1860s be elected. It's too dangerous. Quote, elect me, I'm in the 20th century, end quote. So there you go. There you go. Good times. A little more uplifting news, Brad. I don't know. When's the last time you were in New York?
Oh, boy, it's been long. Not long enough, mind you. I'm not a huge New York guy, but it's been years. Probably last time I was in New York, I was there with Chris and I were there with UNM, I think.
Yeah, well, listen, this is something to watch out for. Apparently, a Canadian man, unnamed, for what reason, I don't know, but we don't usually have the name, at least, so you can fact check, but we don't have that. But this is in the New York Post, so it must be real. A man, 76 years old, from Canada, was sent into organ failure and sepsis after a trip to New York.
Okay, that's possible.
Apparently, he went to the bathroom in Penn Station.
Ooh.
And
you want to watch yourself there.
When he was in the bathroom, he was, quote, trying to fish a toilet rat out of his toilet when the furry critter bit two of his fingers. And blood.
What?
Yeah. He was trying to fish a.
Why would you? Why? Why would you? I mean, listen, you and I are both kind of old school guys, right? Born in the, in my case, late 60s, your case, 1970.
70s.
Yeah. And, you know, so that's the era that we come from. And so, you know, we do guy stuff, right? We have a certain view as to what guys are supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And neither of the two of us walking into a bathroom in Penn Station or anywhere else for that matter, but particularly Penn Station, and observing a rat in a toilet, would say to ourselves, you know what the right thing to do here is? Let me just grab a hold of this rat and get it out of this crapper and send it on its way, I guess, so that I can hunker down here and you know, take care of my business. Well, what the appropriate, you know, ladies and gentlemen in the listening audience, if you go into a bathroom and there is a rat anywhere in that bathroom, you should probably say to yourself, you know what, I can hold it. But if for some reason you don't say that, you look at the rat in a particular toilet, find a different one, okay? And if there is no different one, then I don't know what you do, but what you don't do is reach for the rat. You just don't do it.
In his defense, he was trying to use the toilet.
Oh, I get that. And sometimes you're in an emergency, and then I sort of get that too. But the rat is an emergency. Like, the rat creates its own emergency, right? So now you've got competing emergencies. You've got competing critical incidents where I have a desperate need to use the toilet. However, comma, there is a rat, a live rat in this one, like eyeballing me.
Yeah.
Right. See, you have to manage that well. And the number one thing you have to do is move. like, get out of that toilet. And oh, by the way, folks, I mean, just in case you're not super familiar with rats, and I hope that you're not, they are aggressive creatures and they will absolutely bite you if you screw with them. Okay. And that is not good.
You know, we were in New York last weekend for a day, and we were taking a little walk, my wife and I, and we passed by a little patch of grass with a tree in it on a sidewalk. And there was an animal in there, and Em looks at it and she goes, "Oh, that's cute. What is that? Like an otter or something?" And I looked at her, I said, "No, that's an otter." I said, you're at 75th Street. There's no otter. That's a rat. That is a rat. And she said, "That's not a rat." And then she looked closer. She said, "Oh God, it's a rat." And then we just kept on going. Have you heard of the world famous Green River Bar in Wyoming? Because you're near there, local pub.
The famous Green River Bar in Wyoming. I mean, I am
Sublette County. You
know, certainly on Sublette a galactic County. Scale, I am close to Wyoming. And any bar they're in. But generally speaking, no, I don't make it up to Wyoming to, you know, grab a beer or whatever.
Are you friends with, because I know you got a lot of friends out there. Are you friends with Cody Roberts? It's your age. Why is it
my 40s? Friends with Cody Roberts?
Daniel Wyoming. He's from Daniel, Wyoming.
No.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyway,
I know the gentleman.
This is when you hear this story, you're going to be sad that you weren't, because apparently he has been charged with, capturing a live wolf and taping its mouth shut and parading it around the Green River Bar in Sublette County, Wyoming.
Why did he do this? I mean, there's all kinds of issues here that we could theoretically address, but the first one I'd like to address is, why did Mr. Roberts A, capture the wolf, I guess, and then B, tape its mouth shut and parade it around a bar? Did he have a reason for this, or was it just, you know, the evening's entertainment?
I think it's the latter. He captured the wolf when he was out hunting, and he allegedly, according to many photos taken of people with this wolf at the bar, taped its mouth shut and then showed it off to his friends at the local pub, the Green River Pub. Yeah, and I guess he caught it, but he was out hunting and he had a snowmobile and he caught up to the wolf and disabled it, end quote. And then he took it into the bar. He then ultimately did take it out back and shoot it, but that was after he played.
He did?
Well, he did. Yeah, he did.
Oh, I don't think you can do that. Pretty sure you can't do that.
No, I think that's for me, but apparently there is a law in Wyoming that you cannot be in possession of a live wolf.
Well, that's probably a reasonable law. I mean, I don't know how often it comes up, but you know, that sounds reasonable. But yeah, and I'm not a big fan. I don't hunt, right? So I mean, it's neither here nor there. I don't have a problem with it. I just don't do it. I mean, it's just not one of those things I do. There are many things I don't do. But being cruel to anything is just not a, you know, shining mark on your character record, right? Cruelty is rarely, if ever, appropriate, right? And so, you know, cruelty to anything, and especially something that you can dominate, like if you're matched up with someone and you're trying to out-cruel each other, whatever. But I mean, if you can dominate something, like, so being cruel to an animal, being cruel to a child, you're just a bad person if that's your thing. And so my guess is Mr. Roberts is just net a bad person. And I guess bad person do, you know, bad things. So
yeah. And this law has been on the books since 1864, but this 1864, is an example. This
when
is
an Trump example. was president.
Yeah. Correct.
According to our current president. Yeah,
absolutely. But apparently in Wyoming, you can kill a wolf without a hunting license, because it's a predator. I guess it's a predator zone or something. That's what it's called. It's interesting. This is all very, very interesting. I have never, you know, this is one of the reasons, though, I will say this, is I've never seen anything exactly like this, but this is one of the reasons, although I was at one point in time, more than a decade ago, one of the original cigar masters, I had to stop going out to cigar places and restaurants when I had my first kid, because things like this happen at bars, and you don't want to be there when things like this go airy, if you know what I mean.
I know precisely what you mean.
Anyway, well, that's that is what it is. Next, so the big eclipse happened this week. Did you catch any of it?
I did not. I don't. I think here in Colorado, we were sort of outside of the zone where it was terribly noticeable. There were people here who had the glasses on and were looking up at the sun and all that's great, but I did not.
We went up back and looked at it here. You could see it with the glasses, but and it also it got really dim. I mean, we weren't in the line of whatever the totality or path of totality or whatever path mm-hmm. of terror, whatever it was called. But, but it got dim, and then it got about the temperature dropped like 15 degrees like that. I mean, it went down, which leads us to what's going on in New Jersey. You had the earthquake that happened last week. Then you had the eclipse, and now there was a fireball visible in the sky in New Jersey. It came sequentially after the earthquake, which came before the eclipse. So you go earthquake, eclipse, fireball. A lot of people are saying this could be some sort of biblical deal, although they're not necessarily tying it back to any Bible, even Trump's Bible. It looks like New Jersey may be the epicenter of Armageddon, is what some people are saying. That's what they're saying.
And New Jersey would be the epicenter of Armageddon.
Yeah, and you would have thought that was the case already with like the 85 Nets, but no, this is apparently more serious than even that. Even Michael Ray Richardson burning crack pipe holes in his sofa is apparently not as disturbing as this.
No, well, you know what? Buddy, it's hard to get serious about things like this, right? I mean, in every generation, there are always people who think the end of the world is coming now, and they're giving you dates, and they're giving you times, and they're giving you reasons, and they're giving you locations. And, you're probably a dope if you buy into any of that. But if you were to tell me that at some point the end is coming, I would agree with that. And then you were to tell me, and it's going to start in New Jersey, mm-hmm. I wouldn't really probably argue much with you on that. I would probably say, listen, I don't know when, I don't know why, I don't know how, but when it does come, the epicenter from which it spreads will be New Jersey. I don't like to paint with too broad a brush. There are wonderful people in New Jersey, but is anybody really going to go, oh, it's impossible that it would start in New Jersey? Doubtful, right?
I mean, I can't believe they would. I mean, look at, Menendez is their senator, right? Who was taking bars of gold from the Egyptian government in his office.
Yeah. Well, Menendez is probably, if you're from New Jersey, you're probably not, wanting for people to say, well, what do I know about New Jersey? How should I judge New Jersey? Well, let me go with that senator who was taking gold bars from the Egyptians in his office. And then, that's probably not, as a Jersey folk, you're probably saying to yourself, don't use him.
You got Bob Torricelli. Remember the torch, Torricelli?
I do. Yeah. In fact, I do.
He went away for a while.
Yep. Yep. And should have, right? That was a perfectly legitimate thing. So
I always thought he would come back and run again. I don't know what he may have been shanked in federal prison. I'm not sure, but yeah. he's another man of the people. Yeah, but New Jersey seems to be the epicenter of all that is. Although the Jersey Shore, when you go further south, like Cape May's in New Jersey, that's beautiful. Hmm. But that's not really New. That's more Maryland.
The Jersey isn't the Jersey Shore the TV show with all the orange people on it.
Yeah, but that's like I think that's closer to like Atlantic City and stuff. I don't know. I've got to go look at a map. But those are like Italians, right? Those are people that I grew up with, who they go to the beach, they tan all winter, go to the beach, and then they're like very, very dark skinned when they're done tanning because they put like baby oil on, and they tan with baby oil or olive oil. Hmm. Although you know what? An interesting side note about olive oil. When my friend Tommy DePippo's cousin Rocco DePippo went to live in Sardinia, one of his favorite pastimes became olive oil sex, I was told.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not going to further extend the conversation in that direction, I don't think.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting in the story out of Oregon this week, another unknown, you know, you always know when you get to these articles, it's like an unknown person. There's no name, just a man. Mm-hmm. You read an article that starts, a man was, you know, it's not, you know, bit by a toilet rat, right? Not good. At least that Cody Roberts guy, we had the name. But what would you say if I started out by saying the next thing we're going to talk about is an article that begins with, quote, a man was crushed by a 1,200-pound tree stump in suburban Portland, officials have revealed.
A man was crushed by a 1,200-pound tree stump mm-hmm. in suburban Portland. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the first thing you got to ask yourself is if you had just said tree, if you had left stump out, then, you know, this headline would be tragic, but not surprising.
It's a massive stump.
That's a massive stump, right? And stumps are generally stumps. Like, the reason that stumps exist is because someone says to themselves, well, I got to get rid of that tree. And so they cut it down, but they leave the bottom portion because it is so firmly attached into the planet that they just can't get it out. Right. As a general rule, if you're going to remove a tree, it would be best to remove the whole tree, right? Because otherwise you're left, you still can't use that patch of ground for anything. And there's this unsightly bottom, you know, section of a tree just stuck there, but you cannot get those rascals out because they are so firmly embedded into the earth. And so that's where my trouble lies with this headline, right? Is if it's a tree stump, generally speaking, those things are firmly embedded into the earth. And if it's a 1,200-pound tree stump, then imagine how embedded it is. But then you use the verb crush, which would imply that that stump, you know, somehow got on top of the man, thereby implying that it had to be removed from the planet in order to be able to do that. Mm. And that's where it gets a little sketchy. So
I guess he was trying
to. You're going to explain this.
Yeah, I get my reading from the story is that he was using equipment to pull the thing out of the ground. I don't know why you don't just use a grinder, right? Get right one of those
exactly,
grinders.
Yeah, grind exactly.
Mm-hmm. But no, he was pulling it out of the ground, and then somehow he saw fit to get between the ground and the stump. The equipment failed, and he was pinned and crushed by the stump. And obviously a horrible incident. But the thing to really focus on that caught my attention here is that he was left there overnight because the wife didn't notice him gone until the next morning.
Hmm. So he was crushed by a stump at some point during the day, and his bride of X number of years makes it through a whole evening and night before she becomes concerned that she hasn't seen her husband in a while.
Yeah, she went outside for a walk and she noticed him in the backyard. Well, I mean, I don't know what she it says she came upon the grisly scene, but I mean, for maybe he was just like, you can see the arms, or maybe, I don't know. This is
so
how
she didn't even go out looking for him. She just went for a walk and happened to stumble into him, is what you're telling me here.
Yeah, correct. I mean, that's what happened. She went for a walk, stumbles into this grisly scene, and this is what you get.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, it is unfortunate that the gentleman was crushed by anything, tree stump included, but it is also odd, to your point, that the wife didn't seem to be the least bit concerned that her husband had been absent through an entire night. Maybe that was common practice in their household. Maybe he, you know, was a stump wrestler, and, you know, sometimes it just takes all night to get that stump, you know, to submit.
Yeah. I don't know. It's kind of odd. You would think she'd go out and look for him before dinner or something, but maybe not. It's fishy. There could, be foul play here. And also what I would say is this is the same way. Remember Mark the Bird Fitterich?
Yeah, sure.
Say he went the same way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. That'll happen.
Couple other things before we wrap this up. We were going to talk about AI, but we don't have the time now because we got sidetracked into the whole, you know, Biden Trump thing. But so while we're on the subject of Trump, coming up this week is Trump moved to delay the start of his criminal trial in regards to the prostitute Stormy, I'm sorry, the porn star Stormy Daniels and the hush money trial. Now, remember, he paid her so much money to keep her mouth quiet and sign an NDA. She did that. and he's being charged with an illegal campaign contribution, saying that that hush money was effectively a campaign contribution that wasn't reported. So they're trying him criminally for that. And so now, because the delay was denied, he goes to trial starting Monday in Manhattan.
Yeah. See, again, it doesn't matter which side of this issue you come down on, and you can even remove some of the, you know, sort of drama or angst around this by just saying, okay, let's take Donald Trump out of this and insert any major political figure, right? Here's what you're not looking for. And I'll just never understand why the Democrats are doing this, because it's going to come back around on them. You don't want to start, you know, and it's unfortunate that this word has to be used, but it's the proper word. You don't want to start trumping up charges against your political opponents. And everybody looking at this that has an ounce of, you know, sort of neutral observational skills realizes that this is a trumped up charge, right? It may be, no pun intended, it may be a legit, at the end of the day, someone may be able to say, well, this is a legitimate chargeable offense. And you say, well, okay, but you made it up for this purpose, right? Like, you took all of these facts and you lined them up in this very delicate, nuanced fashion to be able to get where you are. I mean, that, and so you want to just be careful about that in general, just for everybody, but certainly as a political tool, right? To say, I don't want this guy to be in office, so I will concoct a criminal charge against him, is just a bad idea, because that's going to come right back around on your side of the issue, right? Somebody is going to do the same thing to a political figure on your side of the issue. It's a terrible standard to set. Plus, in this case, the guy that you're charging has a ton of popular inertia, right? I mean, nearly half, if not half, of the American populace is going to vote for this guy. So all you're doing is riling them up and motivating them to go out to their friends and neighbors and say, do you see what's going on here? We all have to go out and vote.
Maybe this is going to be what offsets that abortion turnout, because people are outraged about this. And if they just let all this alone, and, you know, you're giving them this platform this is not a campaign contribution. This is, you know, time in memoriam. And someone pays off a porn star to keep her mouth shut, mm-hmm. and she agrees to it. She gets paid. She signs an NDA. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I'm not saying that's something I would condone or I would do, but it's a contract, right? It's a mm-hmm. contract. It's not illegal, and it's not a campaign contribution. My God, look, is Bill Clinton going back and I would say this, I don't know of any presidential candidate that doesn't have people sign NDAs, and a lot of those people get paid. I mean, are those all campaign contributions? I mean, you know, not just with respect to a porn star, but with respect to anyone, a polling agency, this, that, you know, some of them are, some of them aren't, but they're not all recorded as such. And I'm sure Clinton didn't do that with his NDAs. So, it's just kind of tawdry how they're doing it. And I don't like it. I think it's clearly coming back to bite them. And I mean, if he gets convicted of this, then look out. I mean, you're going to see, and I hope Republicans don't do the same thing, but you're going to see Republicans do the same thing. I do want to end with this, because we have a couple more minutes and that's it. There's this great, I think I talked about this last week, this great thing I signed up for in the Substack, the JFK deal. Was I telling you about that?
Mm-hmm. A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, the Secret Service destroyed documents in the 1990s about switching the parade route. I found that out from that this week, which we have to talk to the old man about. And I'll send you the details on that. But they do this thing, right, where they get on and they have this podcast once a week. It's like on a Zoom, and all these people log into the Zoom like at 8 o'clock on a Tuesday night or something. And then they go about their business and they just take questions and they just talk about the JFK assassination, meander through the night. I was thinking election night this year, right? Mm-hmm. We just open the floodgates and we say, anyone who wants to watch it with us virtually, log into Zoom. We'll be there the whole night, 9, 10, 12 hours, answering literally any question that comes up. Anything. Fastest animal on earth. Boom. Answer JFK. Cheetah. Boom. who's winning in Sussex County, Massachusetts. Boom. We'll just feed information real time to the people via Zoom. You and I just all night long until the last vote is counted in Hilo County, Hawaii or Guam.
Well, buddy, I like the idea. I like your passion for it. I like the concept of, you know, being out there with the people and being engaged in the democratic process. But we don't really have the infrastructure for it. Like, if you asked me how things were going in Hilo County, Hawaii, I would have to say, well, I don't know. Right. So that's, you know, that puts a little bit of a damper on it.
That's an answer. That's an answer.
Well, it is an answer.
Say the answers are going to be right.
But the largest damper on it is my desire to do it. I can't do it. I'll do it. I tell you what, I will give you a 2-hour period for this process. You are a big political guy. You like the political process. You enjoy it. You're a presidential historian. You enjoy these things. I bon vivant, man about town. I don't. So
I beg to differ. I've seen photos of you from a past election up until at least 2 a.m. with a big old stogie in your mouth, chomping, well, marching around.
You do, but I was going to point that out and you've already pointed it out for me. See, so if you had a picture of me glued to the television at 2:00 a.m. on an election night, trying to compute whether or not, you know, this electoral vote or that electoral vote was going to swing the thing, then I would have to say uncle on my argument. But what you have is a picture of me in, you know, one of my periods where my decision-making skills failed me and I was up late and we were smoking cigars and drinking. And that was an enjoyable time because, you know, you and I are very simpatico and we enjoy each other's company, but it was the cigars and the drink and the company that I was enjoying. The political process was a background, you know, that simply provided a platform for the rest of it.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like this is something we are going to do, judging by, and we just have to figure out the logistics. Is that fair to say?
Probably.
Yeah, I think it's great. I just don't want to wear the headset all night because it'll ruin my hair for the selfies. But
plus your ears get sweaty.
Yeah. I haven't had a cigar in like a year and a half.
Good for you. I haven't had a cigar in years. You know what, buddy? It occurred to me at one point that I don't like them.
Yeah, my mouth gets all. My mouth gets dry.
The initial process of unwrapping one and cutting it and lighting it and taking those first couple of puffs, all that's great. So if you could consciously, like, if you were, you know, so consumptive that you could be okay with unwrapping and cutting and lighting and taking two puffs and then throwing the thing away as though it had no value, then cigar smoking would be okay by me. But it's the net result of the cigar. It's just no good. And you smelled for days. You cannot get that smell out of your, you know, person, and you cannot get the taste out of your mouth. No amount of mouthwash, amount of toothbrushing. Mm-mm.
How did Churchill smoke 8 to 10 cigars a day, 20 during the war?
Having like 30 drinks a day. And so it's like offsetting penalties. The line of scrimmage does not move in that case.
That's a good point. I think it's probably leave it at that. Maybe there'll be cigars. Maybe we'll just dip some snuff for the election. We'll have to see.
That'd be old. That'd take us right back to 1864.
Amen.
And there you go, buddy. I mean, that's what you can plan on as you look forward to future editions of this very fine program, is that slowly but surely, David and I will be walking back towards 1964, starting by taking some snuff and perhaps wearing a top hat made out of beaver skin. Mm-hmm. And so if you're anxious to see that, then join us right here next week on IP Frequently.
This has been IP Frequently. Once again, clearing a forest of lies with the machete of truth. You're welcome.